Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. After putting off a trip to the urologist, Grammy-winning songwriter and vocal producer Cu Carell was devastated to learn that he had prostate cancer, just like his father before him. However, with his characteristic positive attitude and the help of his family, friends, and healthcare team, Harrell is now cancer-free and spreading his message of hope to others who may find themselves in a similar situation. On this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast, we talk with Harrell about what it's like to be on the other side of his diagnosis and how he's using his platform to shine a light on prostate cancer with the No Shaver November campaign in partnership with City of Hope. So, Cook, what led to your diagnosis? Were there any signs or symptoms you experienced?
No, well, I really didn't have any huge signs. When I think back on it, the thing that sticks out the most was basically just my, going for my yearly physical, and my general physician had recognized that my number wasn't really bad, but it was at a place where he's going, well, really, we really shouldn't be seeing anything in regards to, your PSA level at this particular stage. Because at that point, I was probably, I think I was 51. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I was going, all right, I'm 51. I know I was supposed to go get my, start to go get my prostate exam at 50. And, you know how it is. You just getting the prostate exam, the rectal exam and all that stuff. So I was putting it off, because of that. And then I finally just broke down and at 50 went, to my general physician, got my overall physical. Everything was good except for that number. He had, he told me, he's like, your number's a little high. At that point, he also asked me, he's like, well, is there, prostate cancer in your family? And told him yes, my dad had prostate cancer when he was in his 70s, when he was in his early 70s. And he said, well, with that being the case, you should really go and get this looked at. And the way it was my general physician was in the same building as the urologist. So he said, on your way out, I want you to stop down at the urologist's office and make your appointment so that you could see him so that we can, just investigate this. Of course, this was really my first time going for a general checkup in years. So of course I'm kind of like, oh man, it took everything just to get here. And then now for him to be telling me to stop someplace else, I was like, oh, I can't do it. So unfortunately I did not stop in his office. And then, of course, life circumstances take over. My mom passed, which took us into mid 2016. I went back, once she passed and the smoke kind of cleared from all that and we were just able to get back to regular life, I was like, all right, I need to go get my physical again. When I went back to get my physical, my number had gone up some more. And he said, listen, this number is growing and it shouldn't be growing, because I really wasn't educated in what that meant. I really didn't jump on top of it like I should have. So that went, looked at that. He said, I need you to stop by his office again. I went, okay. And I did not stop at the urologist's office again. And fast forward again, my dad, then my dad passed. Mm-hmm. After that, once everything, all the dust cleared from that, I was like, all right, I need to go back for my physical. This puts us in 2017. And then when I went back, the number had gone up again. He was like, listen, you're not leaving this building. So I stopped at the urologist's office. And as I'm speaking to him, he says, listen, with everything that I'm seeing with these numbers and how it's rising, I've been doing this for a long time. I want to be honest with you. He said, and your dad had it. He said, I'd much rather be honest with you and let you know, I'd be surprised if you don't have prostate cancer. So I'm telling you this so that we can take care of business, so that we could do what we need to do. If we catch it early, you're good. So at that point, in his office, when he first said it, I was, of course you're devastated, because that's not what you want to hear. And that was part of the reason why I was just like not wanting to go. And once he said that, I was devastated. I broke out in tears right there in his office. But then, he let me kind of get through that. And I think that took like 5 or 10 minutes. And he says, listen, I've been doing this a long time, you know, and he just started educating me, letting me know that no cancer is good cancer, he says, but if you're going to get prostate cancer, that's the one that you want to get because it's the most, it's the slowest growing one. So with that, I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. And he said, and there's lots of things that we can do to treat it. At that point, he recommended I have a biopsy. So, you know, a couple weeks, once we had the biopsy, we found out that there was cancer present. And once we found out that there was cancer present, he asked me, he said, well, what do you want? How do you want to do it? We have several ways of treating it. And he said, or we can remove it. And my choice right away was to remove it because I had felt that I had waited too long already. So at that point, I was like, let's just schedule a surgery, get it out. And at that point, I was looking back at when my dad had his surgery. My dad had his when he was like 70, and he lived to be, you know, he lived to be 80. So I'm going, well, there's hope.
Okay. So now you did kind of touch on it a little bit, but can you go into a little bit more detail about what is it like hearing the words, you have cancer?
For me, it was definitely devastating for that moment. And I can honestly say this, that it was only devastating for, you know, that moment at the office, because I had already been carrying around, you know, since my first physical, this possibility in my mind, and working through that in conjunction with everything else that I do daily. So when I actually finally heard it, it was devastating. But after I got over it, then just because of how I handle things anyway, it's like, all right, well, then let's go. You know, we got a job to do. We got something to do, and let's just get on it. If he's saying that there's hope, if he's saying that there's been, you know, thousands or hundreds or thousands of men that survived this, then let's go. I'm going to be one of them.
That's great. You're a Grammy-winning songwriter and vocal producer. How did your diagnosis impact your work?
You know, it actually didn't impact my work at all because of the mode that I went into. Once I realized that this was the reality, this was what we had to deal with, I basically just went into the mode of going, listen, we're going to do this, but I'm not going to let this stop me from living. Because I've always been, you know, I'm that way anyway. No matter what, we have challenges every single day, whether it's financial challenges or whether it's relational challenges, whether it's family challenges. We have those challenges. And for me, I was just like, this is just another challenge. This is just another chapter. So for me, I did not let it impact everything else. If it did, it, one thing that it did do was it strengthened my mindset on keeping life balanced. Like since the late 90s, once I got a revelation of what my job was here, what my purpose was here on this earth, I realized that, you know, my whole purpose is to make sure that I take care of my family and just be the best Coup Carell that I can be, not to live this life to be the 5-time Grammy Award winner. It's like, that means absolutely nothing to me. So what it did was it just strengthened my outlook on my purpose of life and really got me to a point to where I continue even harder to make sure I live a balanced life. When I'm in the studio, I'm in the studio. I give it my A-plus game. I give my clients my A-plus game, give them everything I can while I'm in their presence. But once I leave the studio, you know, I leave it all there and live my life.
So now, what kind of treatment did you undergo and how did you cope with them?
So, you know, obviously I had the surgery. I had my prostate removed. I was really fortunate that my surgeon was able to preserve the nerve, which is huge. And then when I had the surgery, he found out that I had positive margin at the neck of the bladder. So he said, listen, we got the prostate out. We feel like we got all the cancer out. So, but because you had that positive margin at the neck of the bladder, there's a possibility that that number may still be present, that the PSA is still present in your system because of that. If that is the case, you're going to have to do some a series of low-dose radiation. So once I went back for my checkup 4 weeks after the surgery, the number was still present. We waited another 2 weeks just to be sure. Did my PSA, my blood test again. The number had doubled again. So, you know, so it was still present. So that's when we decided that, yes, we have to go the other step and do the radiation. In the same time that I was having my surgery, my family, we were selling our house in Atlanta, which is where I had my surgery, and we were moving to Florida. Had my surgery, moved to Florida, and then by the time it was time for me to do radiation, we were permanent residents in Florida, so I needed to look for a place of, you know, a place to do my radiation here in Florida. Found a place and didn't feel comfortable because I was like, well, my surgeons are in Atlanta, doctors are there, radiation is down here in Florida. Will these guys really connect? And I really felt in my gut and in my spirit that wasn't the right thing to do. And that's how I got to City of Hope.
Oh, I see. Okay. So then when you were at City of Hope, that was when you underwent radiation treatment?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. And then how did you really cope with that? What was that like?
You know what? Once I realized that's what we had to do, I coped with it just fine because I knew that was just something that we had to do in order to get beyond this thing. Like my whole mindset, when me and my wife and my family realized that we had to do radiation, we were just like, well, listen, our mindset is we're going to impact this situation, not have this situation impact us. So that was, you know, that's the theme, you know, and I live that way for everything. It's like, I'm going to impact this situation. I'm going to bring my faith and I'm going to bring my hope to this situation. And, you know, I've heard about millions of people that do this and I know that this is my foundation. So this is what I'm going to do. Being diagnosed and going through this whole process has been the best season of my life because it taught me, you know, going through the radiation, I welcomed it with open arms because I went in there every single day knowing this is the thing. Today is the day we clear this out. Mm-hmm. Today, you know, if that's what these doctors are saying, then that's what we're doing. Every time I go in that machine, we're getting it out more and more and more. You know, I decided that I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be an example of this situation, not looking at it as I'm not a negative person anyway. So my whole thing is, you know, there's always hope. There's always hope. So let's just go in here. Let's embrace it. Let's do what we got to do and just get on the other side of it.
Now, so the average statistic claims that 1 in 9 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in his lifetime. But can you talk a little bit about how your experience with prostate cancer has led you to speak out more about the increased risk of the disease in African-American men like yourself?
Absolutely. I just know that, you know, I'm really passionate about sharing because, you know, for me, I think I'm really, really, really fortunate. I'm really blessed to be on the other side of it. But my thing is, it's kind of a theme that I have, and why I want to share it is that I say it like this, and it's broken English, but it's like a hashtag. And I say it ain't fun playing cleanup. When, you know, just looking back over the whole thing, you know, if I had gone to the urologist's office when my doctor said go down to the urologist's office the first time, we probably could have caught it even earlier. But because of fear, you know, I'm not a fearful person, but that particular time was having its way with me. So for me, if you have somebody that can share with you and is not afraid of sharing with you the possibilities, then, you know, that's what I started looking at it as there's a reason why I have this platform. So for me, it's really important to share that with African American men. More than anything, just go get checked. Don't let fear have its way with you and keep you away from getting your checkups. And then, you know, 'cause I'm really fortunate that we caught it in a place where I can be on the other side of it.
Excellent. So now I did notice, I saw that you're a part of this campaign that City of Hope is running. Can you tell me a little bit about the No Shaver November campaign that you're taking part in?
I love the campaign because it's also, you know, when I first got diagnosed and I was speaking with my surgeon and my urologist, they probably thought I was crazy because I was going, hey guys, are there any charities that I can talk with or be a part of or anything like that, prostate cancer things? And they were like, yeah, I think they thought I was crazy to want to have to speak. But then once this came up, I was like, this is the answer to my prayers. Like, this is what I've always wanted. So I'm really honored to be an ambassador for info, for sharing with not just African American men, but just all men for getting checked, you know, prostate cancer awareness, getting checked and how to get through it and how to get beyond it.
So now, what advice would you offer someone who just received a cancer diagnosis of their own?
I would suggest, first and foremost, go through the emotion of it. Go through the emotion because that's natural. You know, we're human. Go through the emotion of it. But then as soon as that's over, if you're a faith-filled person, begin to really rely on your faith to get you through it. And then start to get as much information as you can as to, you know, how to stay positive through the situation. You know, because, I mean, we have challenges every single day, but don't let this be the one to just drive you into a hole.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.